The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Well, this has possibly passed the tipping point now for parents all around the region. What's happening to our children? It's all being inflicted by teachers' unions. We now may finally be at a tipping point. Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio, welcome. Welcome to the big show. You just heard Heather talking about it in our newscast. Let's get right to the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
So as you heard, hundreds and hundreds of parents in the Lake Washington School District, and good for you. It is time for the parents to rise up because of what's happening to the children. They rallied last night outside of the school district headquarters. But the stories that are just breaking as we start the show this afternoon, in Renton, they had an agreement to get the kids back in school starting tomorrow. They were going to start with kindergarten, first grade, and the SPED kids. And now the teachers in Renton are just refusing to go back to work. The teachers' union, after they reportedly, the district claims they had an agreement, but the teachers' union says they will not let the teachers go back. So as you just heard, they're talking about getting the kids back in class with substitute teachers. How despicable is that? You have these kids who have been on Zoom calls since September with their kindergarten and first grade teachers. And then you tell them, because the Renton School District sent out an email that I have here in front of me to families telling them that, yeah, we're going back in class, kindergarten, first grade, and special education. And can you imagine those kids who want the excitement of going to school, of that first day in kindergarten, which is an unbelievably special time in a parent's life, too, because you spend about 5 years beginning the process, and it is only the beginning. But you spend about 5 years trying to groom your child for eventually, just a couple inches at a time, but you're going to start to let them experience the world. And it begins on that first day in kindergarten. And I've told the story when my wife and I dropped our oldest daughter off. And I didn't know if she was going to be scared. I didn't know if she was going to be, she sounded like she was going to be excited. But is she going to want mom and dad to walk her into the classroom? Now we get to the school. She hops out the minivan door. I do not miss the minivan days. She hopped right out the minivan door and she just looked to us, smiled, said, bye. That was it. She was so excited to get going. So think about these kids down in Renton. So the parents, after months and months and months of Zoom calls, the parents a couple days ago get this email and they said, hey, guess what? You're going to go into the school. You're going to be in class. You're going to see your friends and kids who will become your friends. What a great moment. And now the teachers' union says, you're going to do that. It's going to be with substitute teachers. So the kids are going to be in there with absolute strangers. And I've been talking about this a long time. And I always separate the teachers from the unions. But that's getting harder and harder. Because if the teachers don't stand up to their unions, and you heard what people were saying. Parents at the Lake Washington rally last night, they talked about how absolutely horrible this whole process is.
Really tough time. I have an older son. He's sixth grade year. He's having a pretty hard time.
I'm in AP chemistry. It's hard. It's hard to not have that, like, communication with the teachers and, like, the students.
It's pretty lonely. Yeah, because I don't really get to talk to people that often.
Hey, teachers, you proud of what your union's doing to these children? Is this why you got into the biz? So you could have a union try to destroy the emotional lives of a bunch of children? Or in some cases, sadly, destroy the actual lives of these children, the ones who have committed suicide and overdosed. Teachers, you proud of that? Because if you don't separate from your union, if you don't start withdrawing your membership en masse, you legally have the right to do that. And the salary the union negotiated, you'll still get it. You'll just make about $2,000 more if you stop paying your dues. But if you're not disgusted by what your union's doing, this stink is going to rub off on the teachers. Here's the reaction to hearing the Lake Washington School District announced, yeah, middle school, high school, they're not going back this school.
It was very disappointing. Mine says, what about us? Because I feel like we, like, as students, we don't have a lot of representation about the subject.
It was sort of a punch in the gut to hear that it was decided.
It's gotten everybody upset and angry and just frustrated. And feeling this, just this place of helplessness.
Teachers, you proud of what your union's doing to those kids? Making them feel helpless. Making them feel frustrated. Making their lives, which at this point in life should still retain mostly joy. You proud of that? You proud of what you're doing to this little girl who spoke to the council?
You have a job to do, teach kids.
Yeah, it's not happening. Some teachers try to tell me that teaching remotely is every bit as hard. A couple have even spun the fantasy that it's harder than being in the classroom. And the parents who have seen their property taxes go up thousands of dollars in the last 3 years, so we could pay teachers an absolutely unsustainable salary in most districts? How about those parents?
My oldest son has become a recluse. He prefers to just stay inside.
I want my son back. I want to see him smile again. I want to see him laugh again.
Proud of that, teachers? Proud of what your union's doing to those kids? Previously happy child? Dad just wants to see his kid smile and laugh again. A mom just wants her kid to not be a recluse anymore. You proud of that? You proud of the fact that your unions were able to squeeze thousands of dollars a year extra out of these families so that you could get a massive raise? And this is what the parents and the kids get in return. This is what your union is doing.
Keep in mind all of the lonely, depressed, anxious, suicidal, bored kids that are sitting quietly at home.
But hey, if some kids die so that you can have an easier teaching gig, I guess that's worth it, right? This is nauseating. This is absolutely nauseating. And then the superintendent of Lake Washington saying that we just can't go back.
But I also agree with many of the comments, the anger, the frustration.
Okay. But they just says guidelines, we can't go back. What guidelines? There's zero public health risk. There's zero risk to the teachers. And I've told you the Brown University study that came out last week, and they update their tables every 2 weeks. And in every county in the United States where teachers have gone back to work in class, the teachers have a either non-existent or a dramatically lower COVID rate than the county as a whole. So what's the plan here? There needs to be an action plan. And I would like to offer some solutions. Again, first of all, it begins with the teachers. It's time for you to stand up to your union. because most everybody wants to support the teachers. But what you're doing to the children that parents want to entrust to your care is diabolical. It is despicable. It is disgusting. Teachers, you need to get out of your unions. Unless the only thing you care about is the fact they got you extra money. But if the kids are suffering from anxiety, if they're committing suicide, that just doesn't matter to you, I suppose. I mean, that is the clear message. Teachers, you have to get out of your union. Action plan number two, parents. Most areas in the Puget Sound area, when they put a school levy before you, most communities vote for school levies. There are exceptions, but the vast majority of people have passed school levies. And full disclosure, my wife has chaired two successful winning school levy campaigns in our school district. Clearly, I am not knee-jerk anti-levy. But it's time for everybody within the sound of my voice. Don't pass any more of these until the teachers have separated from their union. Because in so many cases, it has been just to reward a union that clearly could not possibly care less about your kids. Time to stop. Time to stop this blind support. I hope you are waking up that this is not about your kids or a better education. It is about now just pure greed. And then you have this. Some lawmakers in Olympia, they're lobbying Jay Inslee and Jenny Durkin to provide vaccines for teachers. And Jay Inslee has already said that teachers should not go ahead of any other profession. And I agree with Jay Inslee. Whew, that sounded like a weird sentence. I'm not used to saying those words. I agree with Jay Inslee. Why should teachers get ahead of grocery store workers or the garbage collectors? Or any other profession when there's absolutely zero data to back up that they are at greater risk. But this is all part of the scam. It's all part of the scam. Now, we can't go back until we get vaccinated. Okay, so then let's say they cave in and get them vaccinated. Then what happens? Well, a Tacoma teacher tipped us off last week as to what happens if the teachers get vaccinated.
Vaccines are coming, but they will not be available for most of us before we are back in our buildings. And they won't be available for our students until likely fall or winter of next year.
What about our community?
Okay, they don't think they should go back until the kids are vaccinated, even though no vaccine has been approved for a child under 16. They're just going to keep delaying. They're going to keep psychologically destroying these kids. There are going to be kids who die because of this. And this is all being engineered by the teachers' unions. It's time to stop this. And the rally by the Lake Washington parents and kids last night was awesome. It was fantastic. And that's what more people have to do. That's more kids and parents have to do. But don't do it and then say, but we still support our teachers. They don't deserve it anymore if they are part of this union scam. And so it's time to stand up. Let's make that happen. Okay, up next in the Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
Down in Renton last night, a 17-year-old was murdered. It happened 7:45 in the evening, and when officers arrived, they found the kid in an alley where he died from his injuries. The suspects are on the loose. I will tell you what I have heard from police sources, that this was an execution-style murder. And often, execution-style often means you make somebody kneel down, then you cap them in the back of the head. All the police have said in Renton is that they believe that this was a known person crime, not a random crime. So the victim was targeted. The other thing that we are hearing from police sources is that there's only the beginning. And the reason I bring this up, why I pop it in the big lead, is because I've been telling you that we are seeing skyrocketing murders because of policies that have increased the drug trade and the drug gangs that are fighting for turf. And I would not be the slightest bit surprised if an execution-style slaying of a 17-year-old kid in Renton last night was an extension of the drug-selling wars, which is a product of our politicians who have lost their minds when it comes to legalizing drugs in King County. Then they always say, what we were doing in the past didn't work. So you give us something that has just blown up the murders and the violent crimes and the assaults and the deaths from ODs. It's unbelievable. All right, there you have it. That is your big lead for today.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
I'm going to check the news for you. And then coming up next, what is happening in a neighboring city that is proof of how misguided our local politicians are? And why I could never, ever be a member of their party. I'll explain coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. So the Cairo 7 read there, we were trying to decide, should we do a music bed or not? And we said, well, we'll do no music bed, which means it's dry or a cold read. And I say to Andrew, what about unadorned? And Andrew says, well, that's like four syllables. And I go, well, no, actually, it's only three syllables. And Andrew, then you try to make this argument. You said unadorned. I go, you turn D into a separate syllable?
Well, because you can. I'm not saying you always got to put a D
no,
at the end.
You can't. Dorned is one syllable. Unadorned is three syllables. It's not unadorned. Which
okay,
is the argument
Dory.
You were trying to make to me.
It's Ebonics or something. I don't know.
I'll move on. Okay. I saw this news. Actually, it was a listener who tipped me off. Listener Ryan on Twitter sent this to me this morning. I've told you for a long, long time, this would be a I told you so. But up in British Columbia, 165 people died from a drug overdose in just January. Now, remember, they told the world when they opened their heroin injection death site, and remember, I have never gone along just because government calls something something. If it's nonsense, then I'll call it what it actually is. And a heroin injection site is a heroin death site. And so they want to do this in Seattle and King County. Now, the one up in British Columbia is partly funded by George Soros, And, you know, I've shared with you a lot of the information over the years that I truly believe that George Soros, my personal opinion, I believe that George Soros is part of this effort to destroy our cities from within so that they can rebuild in a Marxist image. And one way to do that is to flood a city with drugs and runaway crime. And that's what I think is happening up in Vancouver, B.C. But they told us, oh, no, no, if we get them a what they call it, a safe injection site. That's what government calls these centers. Like there is a safe way to inject heroin into your bodies. And I also believe that that is a horrible disservice to our children to have government declare that you can safely inject heroin into your bodies. You cannot. It will kill you eventually, as we have seen. So the Seattle City Council members and other politicians in King County government, they've gone up to Vancouver, and they've seen the heroin death site there, which is in the blocks right around their heroin death site. It is Zombieville in Vancouver, B.C. I've had lots of people who've gone up there and just seen, went to see where this place was. And they tell me it's the Walking Dead right around, and not always walking. There are people sitting on the sidewalk who they're just out of their minds because of their horrible addiction to heroin. So this is the insanity. And what I realized as I was seeing this story of a million reasons why I could never, I don't identify as a member of any party. I like a lot of what Republicans do. I like some elements of libertarianism. There are a couple elements of what the Democrat Party used to be that I like. I mean, they used to have liberals who were about free thinking and everybody should have freedom of thought. And it was Democrats who took on what they saw was injustices in government back in the 60s. And now it's the exact opposite. Democrats gotta ban Dr. Seuss books. And we gotta get rid of Andrew Cuomo because he sexually harassed three women. But what about the thousands of nursing home deaths that he covered up? Nothing. Crickets. They care more about, and look, I think the sexual inappropriateness allegations against Andrew Cuomo are creepy. He sounds like a, you know, ridiculous human being. But they seem to care more about that than the fact that he engineered a cover-up of thousands of nursing home deaths and undercounted them by 50% so he could make himself look better for his future political aspirations. Well, that's not what liberals do. Liberals don't support government cover-ups. Liberals don't support burning books in a digital age. However we do that. So anyway, I don't identify with any political party, but I could never be a Democrat. And this heroin death site thing is a pure example of that. About how policies are endorsed that we know are going to kill people. And to have 165 overdose deaths in British Columbia in January alone, and the fact that we still have politicians who are pushing for these heroin death sites in Seattle and King County, it just shows you how absolutely crazy they are. You want another example? Well, I could never be part of that party. Democrats in Congress, You know, they want to send out $1,400 stimulus checks to tens of millions of Americans, even if they are not suffering financially from COVID and the economic shutdown. But yesterday they introduced a new concept with these stimulus checks. They said that they want to have recurring and regular checks sent out. So in other words, they want to send out and add to our nation's debt for maybe years to come. Now, why would you do that? Well, because the Democratic Party right now wants to have as many deadbeats in America as possible, because that's the way that they will be dependent on government. How disgusting is that? And when I say they want to have as many deadbeats as possible, it's called the Build Back Better plan. And they said that a one-time additional $1,400 is not enough. The crisis is far from over. Families deserve certainty that they can put food on the table and keep a roof over their heads. Families should not be at the mercy of constantly shifting timelines. And they didn't say how big or how frequent the check should be. But, you know, there's that universal basic income. They're trying to get that pushed through. And let me explain what I mean by deadbeats. When Barack Obama was president, we had 40 million Americans receiving food stamps. It became an all-time record high because Barack Obama had absolutely no idea how to create jobs. None. Donald Trump becomes president. All of a sudden, manufacturing, blue-collar, good-paying, working-class jobs come back to America, and unemployment before COVID hit all-time record lows among Hispanics, blacks, women, every group you can imagine. All-time record lows. And then Joe Biden becomes president. Swipe of the pen. Let's lay off 11,000 pipeline workers. And with Democrats in charge of Congress, it's, yeah, let's get everybody back on the public dole once again, which is a ticket for disaster in life. Because if you rely on the government for your sustenance, you will never rely on yourself. And so, whether it's the drug death sites or trying to get everybody back on some form of government welfare, or most people, whew, lots of stuff in the news today that supports what I have always believed about what's best way to live your life, and turning it over to government is a disastrous way to live your life. Okay, quick time out here, and then coming up next, have you heard the latest on Dr. Seuss? I got some things to say about that next on the Dory Monson Show. I have some breaking news as we continue through the afternoon here on the Dory Monson Show. In the big lead, I told you about a 17-year-old who was murdered in Renton last night. And a police source tells us that it was an execution-style slaying, which is why they think the victim and the shooter knew each other. We just have some breaking news. The suspected shooter is now in custody. The 17-year-old boy was shot and killed by a 41-year-old suspect, or that is the suspect. I can't say he was shot and killed by this guy, but it is a 41-year-old man who is the suspect in the execution-style slaying of this 17-year-old boy. Detectives say they're still looking into the motive, but that they did know each other. There had been some argument before the shooting, and it is a 41-year-old man who is the suspect in the killing of that 17-year-old kid down in Renton. Yesterday on the big show, I told you about Reading Across America Day, has always been celebrated today, which was Dr. Seuss's birthday. But while both Barack Obama and Donald Trump referenced Dr. Seuss when they talked about Read Across America Day, Joe Biden did not. And that's because there is, as I told you, this new effort on the left to cancel Dr. Seuss. They say that some of his books were racist. And now the Dr. Seuss Foundation says that they're going to yank six books from publication. One of them is If I Ran the Zoo, which I remember well from reading it to my girls. And so I went back and I read the book this morning to see what was, because I couldn't remember there was anything racist in it. And there is one depiction. They are in a mountain region. And there is one depiction in the book of three, what could be like Sherpa types, maybe from the Himalayas region. And they do have, in the drawing, slanted eyes, and they're carrying a platform on their heads. There's in one book a reference to a Chinese boy who eats with sticks. And again, the slanted eye animation drawing that accompanies that. Here's the thing. They're saying that his books had racist overtones. That is such nonsense. What was considered acceptable, and he changed the drawings in some of his books himself when he became more evolved over the years. Racism involves what's in one's heart, not standards that are 70 years after when something happened. And we're going to check the news and then Fast 15 coming up next.